Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guest tonight is music therapist, musician, Karen Provenson-Martin, daughter of the award-winning artists, illustrators, and writers, Alice and Martin Provenson. And we're talking about the new book, and God, is it beautiful, The Art of Alice and Martin Provenson. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is a stunning. I mean, I was so impressed by the reproductions. Talk to me about how this book got underway.
Well, in 2014, my mother was actually living with me and with my family here in San Clemente, California, and Chronicle approached me about doing the book. But at the time, she was, I think, 96 years old, and I was still working full-time as a special education teacher, actually, and it just was too much. I had a lot on my plate, so I said, no, I can't really do it at this time. And then when my mom passed away in the spring of 2018, they approached me about 6 months or so after that and asked if I would be interested in doing the book, and I say yes.
Now, where did you get all the artwork?
My mother, at the age of 90, moved from the farm that I grew up on in Dutchess County, New York, about 90 miles north of New York City. She moved, finally decided that at 90 she couldn't really take care of a 30-acre farm by herself, and decided, and I'm an only child, so she decided to move in with my family and me here in San Clemente. And when she did that, she brought all of her artwork, all of everything that was in their the studio, which was
wow.
In a barn that they had reconstructed when they bought the farm in 1951. So anyway, she brought boxes and boxes and folders and folders and portfolios and a ton of stuff.
It's amazing that they kept it all. I'm glad they did.
Well, they didn't have all of it. In the early days, the publishers kept quite a bit of the artwork.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I do have quite a bit of art. My parents were quite generous in terms of giving away art to friends, and they had one collector who actually bought a bit of art, quite a bit of art, and so there are certain books that I didn't have the artwork from, but I knew who my parents had sold it to, so I kind of borrowed it back for the book. The artwork for the two books that one got a Caldecott Honor, A Visit to William Blake's Inn, and
yep.
The other got the Caldecott for The Glorious Flight. So I had no artwork from them, from those two books, that I knew that if I was going to try and make a book about their career, I would have to have some artwork from those books. So
the amazing thing is you've also included private artwork. So there's this, and I love this Valentine that Martin gave to Alice that is so special and beautiful.
Yes. And when my mother passed away in 2018, I was cleaning out everything that she had built an addition on our house, and I was cleaning out all of her closets and cabinets, and I found that. I had never seen it before, and it was really, really moving and lovely to see that.
And there's also a lot of photographs, a lot of personal photographs of the two of them.
Yes. Yeah.
And that added a whole other dimension, Karen, because although I was very familiar with their artwork, and as a matter of fact, I think anybody who grew up in the 50s and the 60s knows their work well. It's funny. On Facebook, I posted a picture of the Color Kittens.
Oh, wow.
Everybody goes, that was my favorite book. I still have it, blah, blah, blah. And of course, they were known for so many more books. I especially loved their Greek mythology books, the Iliad and the Odyssey, just stunning works. And their artwork has incredible lasting power. And when I saw this book, I realized that it has aged incredibly well.
Well, that's really very nice of you to say, and I mean, I think that, but considering their first book was 1947, and my dad died in 1987, and then my mother a couple years later went on alone and started illustrating and writing more books. So it was a very long career, and it's good to hear that you think the artwork stands up over time.
How would you describe? Do you have a description of their style? If somebody who had never ever seen, how would you talk about? Because their style, although it changes depending upon what they're doing, right. there is sort of a like I would recognize one of the works immediately.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you must know their work quite well. One of the things I'm most proud about looking back on their career, of course, as a child, I had no clue, but was that they did look at each individual. This is what they chose to do, to look at each book and the text of each book, because initially they were just illustrators, and then in around 1974, they started to write some, but they tried really hard to match the illustrations or the style of the illustrations, the tone of the artwork or whatever, to whatever the text of that individual book was, whatever they thought was appropriate. And so I look back at all the different, you're right, I obviously recognize a Brovinson anywhere, but.
Well, let's take the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Yeah.
They were inspired by black and red figure pottery from ancient Greece.
Yep.
Yet, and this is the other thing about their work. Their work is rather modernistic in a traditional artistic sense. So there's that sensibility to it, and then it's the way that it's treated. So it's both respect to the origins of the material, but it does have them in it too.
Right. I know they tried very hard on many, many books to travel to the location that the book had something to do with, whether it was where the story took place or whether it was where the writer had lived. So they did many, many sketchbooks during these travels. I think their first time to Europe, they took the boat in 1948 and they had many, many trips to Europe. And I know before they did the Iliad and the Odyssey and Myths and Legends, they were in Greece. And so they really tried hard to get an authentic feel for the book artistically and visually.
They really were people of the world too. They traveled all over the place. And as you got older, they took you. There's a great memory you have. There's several interviews with you in this book. And I love the fact that they're in Europe and they're taking you to yet another art museum. And you just talk about how they get totally enthralled with the artworks. And you're sitting there going like, gee, I wish we could do something more fun. Because you're a little kid.
Well, that trip, I know. Well, that trip, I was 6 years old. And,
oh, my God.
I have a feeling I wasn't the most patient observer. But
you're a six-year-old.
I know. But, I feel so lucky to have been exposed to beautiful art my entire life.
I was going to say, Karen, you didn't have any idea at the time of what a special upbringing. First of all, you're in this farm on upstate New York, which that alone sounds sort of magical, to grow up on a farm like that. And then your two parents are these world-renowned artists, illustrators, who you look at these photographs, they seem to be really in love with each other.
Yeah, they really were. They really were. And they felt so grateful and humble and lucky about the life that they were able to lead together, not only personally, but professionally.
When did you first realize that you were growing up in a special way?
Oh, probably in middle school or junior high, when I realized that I couldn't get away with anything because my parents were always at home. So they walked from the house to the barn, which took about 10 seconds, and then they worked in the barn where their studio was, and so I really couldn't ever sneak around or do anything because they were always there.
But you had a lot of animals on the farm.
tons of animals. That was a wonderful thing. And you know, I still adore animals to this day. I don't actually have one at the moment, but I do a lot of fostering of cats and kittens for the local animal shelter. But before COVID, I was doing a lot of traveling, and it just didn't seem quite. I didn't really want to have the responsibility, full time responsibility with pets. But I loved growing up with them, and I spent my childhood riding horses and rowing a boat around in the pond with baby ducks. And,
oh my god!
Feeding. I did have to clean the chicken coop, I must say. But,
I mean, seriously.
I did have a.
Farm chores.
I did, but it was a what they call a gentleman's farm. So my parents obviously were not making their living from this farm.
Oh yeah.
They loved it. It was their absolute passion, and they loved trying to make it as beautiful as possible when they for every second that they weren't working or traveling.
Well, you know, the other special thing about your parents was that they worked together. I mean, not an awful lot of us have grown up in a situation where both our parents are working on projects together.
Right. Yeah, it seemed to, I was in and out of the studio my whole childhood, my whole life, and early on, they found a really great way to work together. And when one would get frustrated with the design of an illustration or something, they just would pass it to the other and say, here, you know, it's your turn, you try. And then they had true joy if the other person could figure out a solution to whatever the design problem was or artistic.
Were you allowed in their studio?
Oh yeah, I was in and
out. So it wasn't like a sacred space where you couldn't go.
No, I was definitely open door, in and out all the time. And some of my favorite childhood memories, they had a kind of like the wooden equivalent of flat files where they stored a lot of, their artwork. And there was one drawer full of dummies that they hoped hoped to find a publisher for. And that was my favorite drawer, and I still have all of those dummies that I used to look at as a, a little kid, so that is really cool. Actually, reminds me that actually one of the dummies, a kind of finished dummy that they had done about a cat I had as a child, is actually being published in November. So
they're going to have they'll have a new book out.
They'll have a new book, and my father's been gone 35 years, and my mother's been gone 4 years. And there'll be a new Provinson book, The Truth About Max. So
wow.
That's pretty cool. But as a kid, I just loved looking at all these little books. You know, one of them was about people and their animals and how much they looked alike. And I thought that was hysterical. And
well, some of those illustrations are in the book too.
There's a couple in there. Yeah. Yeah.
I love seeing those things that I've never ever seen before because, for instance, those sketchbooks that they made about being abroad.
Yeah.
One of those is reproduced in this book. And it's amazing.
They took a few. I think there's like four or five double spreads with pictures from various sketchbooks. I actually have about 15 of them, I don't know. Some artist friends are saying, "Oh, you should try and publish those, Karen." So maybe someday. But they really are. Everybody I've ever shown them to has been really, really impressed by just how you can they're many, many more, obviously, than are in the book. But you can just see, mostly my father was the one who did the sketchbooks, but you can just see the visual artistic process. You know, he's trying to really, really quickly write a draw the gist of whatever scene is in front of him. And some of them are more finished than others. But and he's got, I think, a couple of them in the book. You know, there'll be a picture, and then he writes, you know, burnt sienna, or you know, whatever the color is, or something about the shape or architecture or whatever to help him remember. But you can really, really see his eye and just how he was trying really hard to very quickly. Some of them are painted, and a couple of those are in the book, but others are very, very done very quickly and in pencil. And but they used those. That was kind of their research their books.
Your father originally worked at Disney.
He did, in the very early years of Fantasia and Dumbo. Wow. And Pinocchio. And I think he was 21 or something when he first started working there.
What did he do at Disney?
He actually worked there twice, I think. The first time he was in animation, and that did not suit him very well. So he actually left and went to work for another animation studio, Harmonizing.
That's right.
And then a bunch of his friends went from Harmonizing to Disney's, and they said, "Come on, Martin, you got to come too." And so then he worked in the storyboard and character model department.
Oh yeah.
And really loved it, and had made lifelong friends there. He said that's really where he learned to draw, and he really appreciated, you know, Walt Disney would give them a lot of freedom in terms of, here, go with this idea, and then he'd come in and they'd draw, and a couple days later Walt would come in and say, "No, I don't think that's right. Go in this direction." draw in the other direction. So,
you're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Karen Provenson Martin, daughter of the award-winning artists, illustrators, and writers Alice and Martin Provenson. And we're talking about a new book. It is gorgeous. It's beautifully reproduced. There's an awful lot in it. It's called The Art of Alice and Martin Provenson. Karen, obviously this is before your time, but did you ever learn about how the two of them ever met?
Yes. I think after my father worked at Disney, well, the war came along, World War II came along, and he was working at Disney's, and he decided to enlist in the Navy, and he was sent to Washington, D.C., and never set foot on a ship, but he did do a lot of training films for the Navy. And my mother at the time was working in animation at Walter Lantz Studio that did
Woody Woodpecker, and Andy Panda.
Oh, was that? Yeah, I don't know about Andy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Navy sent him, for some artistic reason, to Walter Lantz in Southern California to work on some sort of project that was that they were working on, and that's where he met my mother. So the rest is history.
Really is.
yeah. Then they ended up, you know, my father had to go back to Washington and continue being in the Navy. My mother moved from Southern California to Washington, D.C., and got a job at OSS doing artwork. And then after the war, they decided to not to go back to animation, but to try a new field and try children's books. So that's how it all got started.
Now, originally, I think it was you too, were living in New York City, right?
They moved, so the New York City was kind of the publishing hub of the whole country. Okay. And so after the war, they moved to New York City, and that's where, and started and did quite a few books, including Color Kittens and the Fireside Book of Folk Songs.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
early
yeah.
Books and Golden, the Fat Little Policeman. And,
now, were they, that's not their original ideas, though. These early books, they were assigned to illustrate them?
Yes. They literally were assigned by the publisher to illustrate all of the books until so they started in 47.
Oh my
all
God.
The books until 1974 were they were, you know, said, please do Aesop's Fables, please illustrate Tales from the Ballet, please illustrate, you know, Charge of the Light Brigade.
By the way, I didn't know about the Charge of the Light Brigade until this book that was published. That seems like an odd subject for
It does. And I it's actually one of my favorite books that they illustrated. I'm in my house in San Clemente, California, looking at framed illustrations from that book. I really, really love those.
I love their, again, the Iliad and the Odyssey to me are just, that's,
yep.
And then their mythology books are just incredible.
Right.
They're just.
Yep. Yeah, I'm hoping to find a way to get those two in particular reprinted.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Hopefully, crossing my fingers.
Now, Martin also, and he gave these to Alice, he would make scroll movies.
Well, yeah, it was kind of hard to represent that in a visual book, but basically, he did, and that was something also that I didn't see until after my mom had passed away in 2018. I was cleaning out her cabinets, and I found it looks like a shoebox made out of wood, and it's got a little peephole on the top looking down, and then inside there's two scrolls, and then there's these cranks, and so you crank you turn the crank in order to make this little movie about a visit to Paris, which was their favorite city in the world.
Wow.
And it's a little story. It's hard. It's actually, believe it or not, it's 108 inches long.
Wow.
That scroll that goes in this little wooden shoebox. I had to extract it out in order for them to photograph it. And I am honestly trying to figure out, now, what do I do? Should I put it back in the box where my father intended it to be? But it's kind of hard to see because the peephole, there's a little light inside, so you plug it in, and so there's light that you can see as you scroll the little movie. But you know, it's much easier to see the artwork if I were to just unroll it, and it's 108 inches long. So like, maybe I should frame it like that. I don't know. So. But it's very clever. I mean, my father, that's just one example. He loved in his free time to make all kinds of very creative artistic things. I'll just give one example. So my parents were very close to Bob Gottlieb,
mm-hmm.
Who's great editor and publisher. And I'm still very close with him and his family. My sons and I just spent Thanksgiving with them up in the country. They have a place that's right next to the farm that literally adjoins the farm that I grew up on. But an example of another artistic example, my father's use of his free time is he made what was called the Bob Box, and it had a figure of a 3D head of Bob, and then there were all these little boxes around it with something in it that was representative of Bob's passions. And there's even Bob is an excellent piano player. Most people don't know that, but so there's a drawer that extends the width of the box. That's maybe, you know, I don't know, 10 inches wide or whatever, and you pull on the handle and these hands come out on a wooden keyboard. I mean, obviously it doesn't play music,
but still.
Anyway, Bob loved ballet, so there's a box full of, you know, there's a box with some dancer's legs. Anyway, my father, yeah, he really loved to do all that kind of stuff.
Before we go, and we only have a few minutes left, I want you to talk to me about the hickory tree at Maple Hill Farm.
The farm, the house and barn are in the middle of 30 acres approximately. And then there's yards right around the house and barn. And then there's big horse fields that surround that on all sides. And then beyond that is the forest. And in one of the horse fields, there was this hickory tree that had two huge trunks. And my father always used to say, "Oh, Karen, you know, that's you," or say to my mother, "You know, that's you and me, Allie. That's you and me." That one trunk was her and one trunk was him. And so when my father died in 1987, that's where my mother chose to bury his ashes. So
wow.
We had a little ceremony there. I played my flute. We read, my father was like Zen very much. And so we read some Zen readings. And so that was 1987. And then when my mother passed away in 2018, I chose to put my mother's ashes about a foot and a half from his ashes. And we had a celebration of life, which was at the very same tree. And so I like the idea of my parents being together again on their beloved farm. So,
wow.
It's really nice. And good symbolic, you know, ending, right?
It is, and there's a little picture at the end of this book of the two trunks of the tree. When your father died, you know, I would have to imagine your mother went through a lot because she spent her life working and loving this person. But the amazing thing about your mother is she persevered, and she continued to write and paint books like The Buck Stops Here, and. Yeah. We're out of time, but she ended up producing 8 more books on her own.
Yes. And she didn't think she could do it. I really encouraged her to try, as well as a wonderful editor that she'd had in the past, Linda Zuckerman. And so she gave it a try, and she really attempted and did do books that she probably would never have done with my father. She wanted to go in a new direction, and she loved to do research. And so My Fellow Americans is also full of research.
And it's great to see her art. We're unfortunately out of time, but people need to see the artwork that is just her own at the end of this book. It is special. My guest tonight is music therapist, music teacher, Karen Provencin Martin. Daughter of the award-winning artists, illustrators, and writers Alice and Martin Provencin. And we've been discussing this new book. I can't recommend this book enough. It's just gorgeous, and it'll bring back a lot of memories, too. The Art of Alice and Martin Provencin. Karen, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you, and I'm really happy that you like the book.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's gorgeous. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.